from the studios in Eugene, Oregon. It's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Okay,
we can't do CPR.
Okay, then hand the phone to the passerby.
And that is a little excerpt from the 911 call that happened at the nursing home where the nurse refused to do CPR on a resident there, despite the fact that the 911 operator kind of begged to do it. But anyways,
it's interesting because we don't even know she was a nurse. We know when she was called a nurse, and when you're working in a nursing home, they kind of usually call you nurses. We don't know if she was licensed. We don't know what she held, what she could do, what she couldn't do. You know, she was just a person who called the 911 in.
Actually, she said many times, and later on in the program we'll play the whole tape of the 911 call, she did identify herself as a nurse.
Yes.
Yes.
Did she say she was a licensed nurse?
No, she didn't say she was a licensed nurse. She said,
right.
I am a nurse.
Right. I would be a nurse, too, if I went in there and helped people. Simple as that. I work as a nurse. I do the job of a nurse. I'm a nurse. But that doesn't mean I'm licensed to be a nurse or that I'm authorized to do things a nurse does. I mean, you know, there's so much. First of all, I mean, if we're going to get into this, this is an interesting thing because there are three buildings there. And there are three licensed nursing homes. They're not just one. And each one's licensed to do different things. The one that this lady opted to be in, and she did this, by the way, herself, she opted to be in this particular one that offered no help. This was just a place to live. And that's all it was. And
okay. Well, before we get definitely into that, how about if we finish opening the program?
I guess we could do that.
Like, down, boy, set, heal. Anyways, who are you, by the way? Why don't you tell these people who you are, who we are, who I am, et cetera, and how they can talk with us.
Well, I'm Cliff Wilson, and I'm here running the show. I have always run the show. I've always been the big kahuna. Anyway, and Robin, she's been with us to help out. And
I just hang out just because I
just love you. Oh, you're going to accept that, huh? Okay. Anyway, it's Robin and I, and we sit here and talk about various and sundry different things, and we invite other people to call in and talk about things with us. Now, the thing is, what we talk about is not written in stone. We'll talk about anything. I mean, I won't talk about absolutely anything. There are a couple of things that I won't talk about, but almost anything. Well, not a matter of faking it or not faking it. It's a matter of
bacon.
Oh,
the B.
Yeah.
No bacon. Anyway.
I'll talk about bacon. I like bacon. And we'll anyway. 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. And with that number, you can reach us. You can talk to us. You can give us the information that you have or ask for information that you want, or you can yell at us. I don't care. You can tell us that we're entirely off base and you can call us names. I don't care. I am not one of those, you know, Justin Bieber got all upset because they called him names. Who cares? You know what you are and what you aren't. And if you want to call me names, that's fine. I might call you names back. But I don't really care if you do. Anyway.
But in the meantime, and you can call us, 646-721-9887. You can also listen to the program live by dialing that number. In fact, we do have I'm going to give a shout-out to Bob, who's listening to us right now live. And if you decide,
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob. And if you decide that you want to participate in the program, all you have to do is just you dial that number and you push the number 1. And then it comes up my board, and I go, "Hi, area code so-and-so, welcome to the program." And we've had some very good callers and some very interesting callers. But, if you have something that's on your mind, even if it's not what we're talking about, except for bacon. Give us a call, 646-721-9887. If you're one of the thousands of people, now I can actually say that now, thousands of people that listen to the archives per week, and because you've missed our program, you can still participate by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We're always glad to get emails, and except for Viagra.
You know, we talk about missing a program. I must have missed a program somewhere. Where did you get off on this bacon thing? What's wrong? what's wrong with bacon?
Okay, just to recap, one of our first programs that we had on Saturday was kind of a crazy program. We kind of got, I don't know, maybe school just let out or whatever, and people just started mentioning bacon, and that just kind of stuck. So.
The only thing I could think about was bacon is just the television commercials with the dog, the poor dog that's, you know.
Bacon.
And he doesn't have thumbs, so he can do this and can't do that. He has to just beg for bacon. Anyway, oh, well, so on.
Yeah.
But I don't mind bacon. I like bacon. We can talk about bacon. There's other things that we can decide not to talk about, but bacon shouldn't be one of them. We should open up bacon.
Shouldn't open up bacon.
Yeah.
But speaking of bacon or bacon, we got as always, lots on our list today. We got a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment coming up. We have, as we started in the intro, talk a little bit about the nurse that refused to help the woman despite the begging of the 911 operator. We're going to talk a little about it, the sequester and how that's kind of affecting a few things. And
good old President Obama.
President Obama.
Yeah, he's really getting he's getting dumb. I mean, he was dumb in the first place. He's really getting dumb. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. But first, we have Cliff's favorite topic to talk about, and that is food.
Yeah.
Meow.
Meow.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them. And I'm sure you will, too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Dancing Dog Cookies, available online at www.dancingdogcookies.com, are available at select stores in Lane County.
You know, interestingly enough, my sister and her husband were over here for my birthday on the weekend, and they have a little black dog, and that is the most... Well, it's a cute little dog, but he really does listen and really does obey what he's told to do. I mean, he was let out in the back, and his daddy or whatever you want, were out looking at a car, which was just outside the fence. And the fence has a hole in it. It has a whole board that was out of the fence. And so he could easily go in and out of the fence if he wanted to. But Judy informed him, no, you stay inside the fence. You don't go outside the fence. And that was so neat because the dog didn't go out of the fence. You could see that he wanted to. He really wanted to. And he cried, but he wouldn't go out the fence. I mean, that was the best. He really understood what was being said and how to do it. It was a really cute little dog.
Oh, maybe what we should do is, in fact, actually, I think we did a story once where a dog actually got elected as mayor.
This one could probably do a better job than a lot of them. I'll tell you. I mean, if he could figure out how to talk, he could run any city. No problem at all.
Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need politicians that can't talk.
Thumbs or no thumbs.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just funny. We don't usually have animals in the house, and because we don't have animals, but that's, you know, and there were two cats here, and he was even nice to the cats. He didn't jump at them and yell at them. I mean, because I have these cats that go by the house all the time, and There's a white one and a multicolored one, and I swear to God they must walk by the side door at least 20 times a day, and I'm not exaggerating at all, 20 times or more a day, and they didn't go by that many times this day, but they usually do, either way, the dog didn't bother.
And people who are tuning into the show for the first time,
what?
Expecting us to talk about people dying, are hearing about cats and dogs that are being...
They're not dying.
That are not dying.
That are acting very well. They're very nice, very good, being very mannerly.
That's right. Unlike us...
We got a lot of things to talk about. Sistine Chapel, President Obama, Paul Rand, Small Knives.
Small Knives.
Space junk.
And I'm going to get into, because I've already promoted on the premise show, a what the heck segment.
Oh.
Yes, we don't do that as often as we should, but I got one for you, so here we go.
I'm ready.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
And once again, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is in the news.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he, one of these days he's going to go a little bit too far, and if he touches pizza, there's going to be a riot.
This man thinks he's president, but he's president of what, a city? Granted, a big city, but a city, that's all he is.
Well, he thinks that, apparently he thinks New Yorkers are just too stupid. Because what he's looking at now, I mean, to kind of give a quick summary, is you've heard about the ban on how much Coke or...
Soda pops, yeah.
Yeah, that you could buy, you know, with a 16-ounce limit.
Well, see, the ban is on the sugar. It's not on the soda pop because it's the amount of sugar that you're going to get. And that's what he's saying after the president's wife about, you know, obesity and the fact that you eat too much sugar. But he's carrying it away. He's getting, yeah, I mean, he's, yeah. Never mind. Go ahead.
That's okay. Well, there's a couple things on his venue, but one is he's worried about how loud your earbuds are.
He's branched out.
Yeah, but the other one, which is getting back to the sugar thing, is now he's telling you that if you go into, say, like a Dunkin' Donuts or someplace like that and order a large cup of coffee, they can't add sugar or anything in it. If you order a small coffee, they can. But right here in front of me, I have a copy of the notice that Dunkin' Donuts placed in their facility saying, New New York City regulations change what we can and can't serve you. And they said, what is changing? You will have to add your own sugar to large and extra large hot beverages, medium and large ice beverages. You'll have to add your own flavor swirl to large and extra large hot beverages, medium and large iced beverages. So anything smaller than that, you can still enjoy your favorite unsweetened beverage. They won't touch that.
I'm amazed that he's letting him sell donuts because so many of those donuts are half sugar.
Oh, you mean the ones that like the powdered donuts, which are just...
not even the powdered donuts. The raised glazed donuts, those are, you know, very little of the donut is donut. The rest of it's sugar, which is the only thing that makes them good.
Now, you know that Bloomberg probably hadn't thought about this until you...
Oh, dear.
We are going to now get a whole bunch of letters saying, thanks a lot, people. You at KRBN, you know, you put this idea in Bloomberg's head. And
yeah, you see, what they'll do is they'll set it up so you can't buy a dozen donuts because there's too much sugar in it. You have to buy donuts one at a time. And so, you know, you have to buy... They'll have to make up little boxes for one donut at a time. Because you can buy, you know, a big Coke. You just have to buy three little Cokes and put them together yourself. You just can't buy it in a big Coke. So, I mean, that it's just ridiculous because he hasn't stopped anything. He hasn't stopped a goddamn thing. You can get around it so easy, it's not even funny. And he thinks he's doing something.
Let's see. Memo to staff. No more dozen donuts. Maximum limit six.
Yeah, six donuts. So now you got to sell them half a dozen at a time. So you'll sell three half a dozens. And because, you know, interestingly enough, donuts, those are so good. I've been in there before. I could go in there and I could eat a dozen of their donuts by myself.
Sprinkles.
I don't like the sprinkles. There's not enough sugar in the sprinkles. I like the raised glazed donuts. They're just solid sugar. Nah. But the only problem with that is the sugar gets all over your fingers and you're all over your shirt and all over everything. It's you get so filthy, but it's good.
Well, they could probably follow Doritos thing where they're cutting back on the flavoring that there's no flavor left on your fingers to lick off.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
I used to love Doritos until they got skimpy on the on the flavor. But who knows? Yeah. Maybe Bloomberg had something to do with that too. I don't know.
I'm not ready for that. You gotta have something on your fingers to lick off. So if you don't get dirty eating it, it's not worth eating.
Yeah, it's got to taste good. And I'm sorry, but you know, sweeteners and stuff like that, they're okay, but nothing.
Well, if they could figure out how to make a non-sugar sweetener that tastes as good as a donut with regular sweetener on it, regular sugar on it, then I'll eat that. I don't mind. You know, I don't care what makes it sweet as long as it's sweet.
Yeah, well of course, now they're saying that the sweeteners have their own little problems, but...
Of course, they kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweeteners, I mean, we've gone through what? We can't use saccharin anymore. We can't use... There's a couple of them that they've banned from the United States. I remember... I'm old, so I can remember when we first started out and they banned whatever it was. I'd go to Canada to get my sweetener. I'd drive all the way to Canada to get my sweetener.
Well, now, where are you going with all that sweetener?
Home.
But the whole point really gets back down to the food police and the nanny state again. I mean, like I say, don't touch my pizza. You know, that'll cause riot. That'd be just like in Oregon here. You know, don't you mess with our ducks.
Really?
But, you know, where does it stop? I mean, do we want – I mean, we hear a bunch of complaints of, you know, once it's imposed and everything, but how
– That's another thing. This all started from the White House. This all started – from the White House, and the man is getting out of hand, and he's letting his wife get out of hand, because we can't have this telling us what we can eat and what we can't eat to begin with, and that's just all there is to it. There's none of that can. I mean, we're getting so carried away. There's going to be nothing we can do, and people are going to get fed up with that, and people are going to get fed up with him, both of him, Obama and the he's not the governor, is he? He's just this. The mayor, isn't he?
Bloomberg, the mayor.
Yeah, that's right.
Michael Bloomberg is the mayor.
Yeah, he's a nothing.
Yeah, but people make him. I mean, how he gets away with doing this, I mean, people are objecting, you know, like the soda ban, for example, which went into effect January, and they're going to get, you know, vendors are going to get fined for selling anything bigger than 16-ounce soda. But... And they're complaining, of course, about the containers that the soda comes in now. You know, heck, the styrofoam.
Oh, yeah, well, that's been a while. But, I mean, he it doesn't make any difference. He's got to understand that if you can't buy anything bigger than a 16-ounce soda, then you buy two 16-ounce sodas. I mean, they're going to do that. He can't be so stupid that he doesn't realize what's going on here.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's more stupid, the fact that somebody put the ban in or the fact that people allowed it to happen?
Well, I don't think they were asked. They didn't vote on this. This was something he just instituted.
Well, and that's what's backwards about our government. It's really easy. You know, this happened locally. We hire people or elect people to make laws. They go ahead and put these laws in, and they say, well, and they come right out and tell you, if you don't like the laws, then you go out and petition, you know, 16,000 or how many is required to put this on the ballot so you can get rid of it. But that seems backwards to me that you have what they do in Oregon, about 4,000 laws in Oregon alone last year.
I don't know.
Some gobble amount?
Way more than necessary.
Exactly.
We'll get back to the law bill. You know, you gotta cancel all these laws every 5 years.
Well, that's just like with Obamacare, you know, saying, well, we need to pass the bill to know what's in it. And now they're finding out that then now that we passed it, there's a lot of stuff that we really don't like. Well, it's too late now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not too late because as far as I'm concerned, we can still put him out of office and in the process, everything he's done. I mean, he's done very little of anything that was legitimate, so why worry about it? Just negate, just pretend this 8 years didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, just like when you said when you voted for him in 2008, what's 4 years?
Yeah, what can he do? Oh, God, boy, I'll never let that down.
Yeah. Yeah, the voice of Cottage Grove.
Backs down.
Backs down. Headline today.
Really? I mean, that's absurd. God. But then, see, again, I've decided it's not him doing it. He hasn't done it. He couldn't have done it by himself. He has sat back. And that's the thing I didn't realize is he didn't even put himself in office. All he did was sit back and let somebody else do that. And that somebody else had an ulterior motive for doing it. And consequently, when they put him in office, then they used their ulterior motive and did lots of other things, too. And that's the problem we have. There's a whole, I don't know who's behind it exactly, but I know that there's somebody. So as far as I'm concerned, of course, right now, we've passed another election. And right now, I'm really mad at the general public because we sat on our dead ass and let him get in again. And we let all, and we didn't, we passed all these, elected all these other people to Congress that had been there. We should have changed a lot of people, and we didn't. I mean, again, I warned people and warned people and warned people, and they didn't listen. You've got to listen, damn it.
I want my free Obama phone.
Yeah, yeah, I'll stuff your free Obama. Never mind.
Well, and Obama's approval rating just dropped down to 43%. But anyways, I have a second award, by the way, for the What the Heck Are They Thinking? And this one goes out to the City of Eugene, the City Council in Eugene, as a to kind of give people an idea, since we do broadcast worldwide, the City of Eugene, which is having budget troubles just like every other city in the U.S., it has been trying to find ways to raise money because they're having to cut like some of the local pools and cut the library back a day, and they're having to cut police and fire and cut other social services and, you know, the typical things that, like the sequester that they're doing to try and hurt the individual, you know, because we just don't have the money. The money's not coming in. We got to raise taxes. And one of the things that's coming up on the ballot is what's called a $10 a month service fee, which they're saying, it's just $120 a year. Well, since the average 50% of the people in Eugene, which has a population of about 145,000, I believe, makes less than $50,000 a year. $120 a year is a lot of money if you don't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
And something I've always argued before is, setting up your priorities. Now, Cliff and I have disagreed on this many a times, but this one here just kind of really just gets my gourd, is that with all the cuts that I just mentioned, this is in the March 7th Eugene Register Guard, if you want to go look at the article. It says, after years of delay, Eugene expects to build its estimated $2 million skateboard park by fall. They said that this was a dream of supporters in 2004, which envisioned a world-class skate park for local residents. And by the way, on a side note, by the way, Eugene has taken away a lot of the equipment on the playgrounds because of fear of liability. And so now they're going to have a bunch of people skating on a bunch of uneven surfaces that are designed to send the skateboarder airborne just so they can fall down and break their neck.
Yeah, what is a world-class skateboard park? I mean, a world-class bunch of cement? I mean, what?
Anyway. Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be, Well, they have a picture of the design. Well, it's supposed to be, you know, a very huge park. But anyways, as the city is saying that they have a $5.3 million deficit for city operations, they're going to spend the $2 million for the park. So far, the skating enthusiasts and private groups have raised about $100,000 of the $700,000 estimated cost to build the park. And as far as the maintenance of the park, once it's built, they're expecting to raise the money for fees from food carts, volunteer groups, and maybe renting space out. So basically what they're doing is that they don't really have the $2 million to build the park. They don't have
In the first place, you said it's a $2 million park, and yet they're going to raise $750,000. There's a little missing somewhere.
Well, they have to raise the $700,000 to help. Well, what it is $700,000 to build the park itself, but to change the landscape, to move the bathrooms, to put in the utilities, they're estimating the total cost is going to be about $2 million.
Well, then when they come up with the $2 million, let them go.
Exactly.
Until they did come up with $2 million, they're still looking for it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that we're, you know, they're cutting police, they're cutting fire, they're cutting essential services, they're cutting a whole bunch of stuff. But yet the Eugene City Council voted last October in 8-0 to go ahead and approve the development of this thing. It's like we have three skateboard parks now in the Eugene area. Under priorities, maybe if the economy was better and if the city wasn't in an $8 million deficit and, you know, they weren't trying to raise money for, you know, raise fees to try and fund these other services that they don't have the money for, and yet they're going to spend money on this.
Sounds about like it's time to change the city council.
It's time to do something, but this is my argument I made about, you know, feel-good projects. You know, the ultimate job of the city and any government is essential services, you know, to run the city, police, fire, et cetera. Other social services like art or anything else, you know, if you have private donations that are willing to pay for this, I'm all for it. Go for it. Charge it.
Or if you have lots of money left over, if everything is fine and you're bringing in all kinds of money and you have a little money left over, then you can build a park. But until then, you don't.
Exactly. They're also, by the way, going to be passing the buck on to developers of many of the new apartment built complexes near the University of Oregon, because right now University of Oregon is a hot spot thanks to the Matthew Knight Arena. Thank you. you're the professional. I just hang out for them. But, you know, and again, too, Eugene especially, as far as building permits and everything, are very expensive. And
that's just ridiculous to save money like that. You only build things like that if you have money left over, if you have money laying around, if you've built what you're supposed to build and are maintaining what you're supposed to maintain, and there's a little money left here, a little money left there, then you build that. If you don't have that money left over, then you go and if people, now in the first place, people didn't vote for this, mind you.
Right.
Only the city council voted for this, and the city council is supposed to be representative of your wishes. But I don't think they really are in this particular case of spending money that way. So consequently, city council needs to be changed to become someone who is representative of your wishes. But since you didn't vote for it, you don't spend it unless it's laying around and doing nothing.
That's exactly my point. You know, you and I. We don't, I mean, as much as we'd love to go out and buy a brand new car or go out and take a vacation.
I'd love to just go out and spend enough money to mow my lawn.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, is it's all about priorities. You know, you and I, if we want to have a place to live and put food on the table, we have to watch our money wisely and spend it wisely. You know, there's things that we don't do, and that's why it just irks me when we're constantly hearing, you know, state, federal, local government saying, we don't have the money, we got to raise fees. It cost me, I mean, I have a commercial driver's license, and when I went and renewed it last year, and I got the bill for that thing, I about fell on the floor. It cost me literally $100 to renew my driver's license.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it used to be, yeah. It used to be, what, $30? It's ridiculous.
It costs more to, I think, to renew your registration is like $95 now. But it used to be like $10-$15 to go and renew your driver's license. And, you know, no big deal. I mean, granted, I have a commercial driver's license. I can pay a little bit more for that. But $100?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, $100 isn't much anymore. Nowadays, $100 may buy you lunch.
Yeah. I'd like to hang out with your people. I can spend $100 for lunch. But see, that just gets right down to, again, my bitch and moan about government spends money, and the same thing going with the sequencer, you know, the federal government, the way they feel, is we're all billionaires out there. And we have endless, it's an endless pot of money. All they have to do is raise fees and taxes, and they can do whatever they want to do with it.
You know, that's one thing. When we were running this campaigns, they were talking about Romney not being out of touch. I mean, he's actually more in touch than most people are. He may be a billionaire, but he actually goes out and went to the store and bought things, and his wife goes to the store and buy things. They didn't live like rich people, as a matter of fact, to be honest with you. They were more in touch with it than most people involved. I mean, but you get involved with Obama, you get and Bush, and all these people who have so much money, they've never done this stuff. And consequently, they don't understand the philosophy behind it. And they're telling us, with enough money for us to live on, they're not qualified to make that decision.
Exactly. And as we've said many times on the program, is that some people that get in, well, I'm going to say a lot of people that go into elected office, and like especially in D.C. and stuff, they go in, I like to believe that most of them go in with good intentions of doing good things, but a lot of them do not go in as millionaires, but they come out as millionaires.
Well, I believe that's what the intention of most of them is going in nowadays, is to become a millionaire.
Maybe I should run for office.
That's, if you want to make money, that's the way to do it. First, you got to find some money. You got to start out with something, and then you don't even have to spend the money to raise money to go into office. Once you get going, you have to start out with some money. But once you get going, the people that endorse you, the people will give you money to do it. And I just, to hell with running for office. Give me the money.
Yeah. Go to caribbeanradio.com. Click.
Yeah, really.
And send your money to our favorite charity, which is us.
Really? I tell you, it's just ridiculous. It's so insane that so much money is being spent on things that aren't even necessary. Right now we're talking about, like you say, this sequestration money and how much money is being cut off of this and cut off of that. If you'll remember, a little bit less than two years ago, I was screaming and hollering and yelling about how much money we were spending on giving money overseas and things like that, and how much money we could save by not doing that. This big thing that they just had, they had, what was he, Kerry went over there and gave him $250 million and then got yelled at and screamed at. That was money that we were going to give them anyway. It's just that he made the mistake of going over there and handing it to them and making a thing about it. If he'd been quiet about it, no one would have even noticed it. But the money was going to go to them anyway. We give them $1 billion a year, and it's not changed. Same with Israel. There's huge amounts of money that we shouldn't be giving away that we could save. And we wouldn't have – what is the amount of money we're saving on this sequestration thing? It's
$5 billion or something like that. But you know, you just touched a nerve with me. We are suffering. In fact, I got an article in front of me I was going to get to in just a moment, but it's a good lead-in. And by the way, before I do that, you can still, if you want to touch on this or anything else, give us a call right now, 646-721-9887. What gets me is that, like Cliff was saying, is that we give away tons of money overseas, even to people that don't like us. And we're suffering ourselves. I mean, there's a whole list of items that, because of sequester and everything else, that we're cutting back on services. It's affecting, you know, the local cities, the states. The feds are cutting money, which I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. some forest land money or whatever. Anyway, they're doing it so everybody feels it.
But, yeah. Well, see, that was $250 million that he gave to them. All we'd have to do is not give them that. And that entire amount of money that we were worried about giving and all this cutting and everything that we're doing would have been saved.
Yeah, that's my point, is that getting back to, like, yours and my budget, I would love to help my neighbor if I could. But if I'm not doing very good, if I can't...
I'm first.
Yeah, you can't help somebody else if you can't help yourself.
But you see, that's the thing. They don't know. President doesn't understand. He's never had to save money. He's never had to worry about money. He doesn't know what it's like not to have money. And so it's okay for him to give away money because he has it. It's actually other people's money now, is the case. But the thing is, he doesn't know the difference. He's never worried about money. And so consequently, it doesn't bother him. It does bother us. And I mean, they're talking about, you know, people who live on Social Security, they only have so much money to live on, and any little bit extra that they get, they need. And he's cut all of that out. Any little money that's going to go to anybody is gone.
Well, and also there's in Oregon especially, I don't have it in front of me, I'm going by memory, that the unemployment benefits are being cut back. I forget how many weeks I think it's a federal extension or whatever, but because Oregon has a little bit of an emergency fund set up that some people still get their unemployment benefits. But we've already got a lot of people here living on the streets because, especially like in Lane County, jobs are very scarce. They're hard to come by. And I'm not talking about jobs that pay $8, $9, $10 an hour because you can't, by yourself, you can't even afford an apartment on an $8 an hour job.
Yeah, really.
You can't afford to live.
That's right.
I'll give you an example. Where I live right now, our utility bills are $210 a month. 50% of it goes to the actual electricity and water. The other half of it, literally, is for runoff fees, sewage fees, whole bunch of other fees, and then, of course, the other related taxes and whatever. $200 a month for utilities is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right, and it's not out of rate, out of sight either. Other cities, small cities, still pay that much. It may not be quite that much, but then it may be a smaller city. But in this case, it really isn't that much because ours is broken out differently and paid differently. But we still pay that same amount. It's ridiculous, and we don't. What do we get for it? Not nearly as much as we should.
No. And then you hear about the waste, you know, like I mentioned, the skateboard park. You're hearing about, again, the huge sum of money that go overseas. And what do we get out of it?
Well, the money that's going overseas, that's what bothers me, the huge amount of money. And we're talking about $600 billion that we're spending between all the different countries and things that we give money to. $600 billion is a huge amount of money. It's not a huge amount of money when you're comparing it to $1.3 trillion per year. But on the same token, it's still a huge amount of money. And if we had that back and didn't give that away, we wouldn't have to spend a lot of money.
Well, actually, that raises a question. If you think about it, have we cut back in the amount of money that we give overseas?
Nope, we have not. We have not. In fact, if anything, because Syria and a couple of these other places, we didn't give any money to before, and I think we are now. So we're not cutting back. We're actually adding to.
Exactly. And having our own citizens suffer. And I guess that kind of irks me as well, because like Obama said in one of his speeches, is that America is the wealthiest country in the world.
Not anymore. It's going to get less.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're the wealthiest country in the world, why do we have a sequester? Why are we going through our budget crisis? Why are we having to, March 27th, when everything takes into effect, why are we having to raise our limit again, our spending limit? You know, why?
That's another thing entirely. But you see, the thing is, it's because we don't bother to see. He won't do anything in writing. He won't do anything legitimately. He's gotten away with doing things just oh, let's do this and let's do that, and it happens. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. And why our government, why the Senate is allowing them, all of them, the Senate and the House, are allowing him to do this and not saying anything about it, is what upsets me. That's why we need to change. We need to clear house. We need a clean house, and we haven't done it.
Well, yeah, but again, we're back to, why read the bill? You know, we got people up there that they're there for their own self-serving venues, just...
Because you don't know what's in the bill until you read it, and that's your job, asshole.
Exactly. You know, if you're not like John Converse, I keep bringing him up, and because he's also done some other stupid stuff too. Like, it's insulting to call an illegal alien illegal. But the point is, you're there for a reason. If you don't have time to read the bill, we need to get your ass out of there. I'm sorry.
Right.
That's your job, is to represent us, and because of your lack of spending time and representing us, we're now stuck with Obamacare. Which, by the way, I just had my taxes done. One of the things H&R Block is doing, give them a free plug, is they're telling you, if you don't have, again, qualifying insurance, federally mandated qualifying insurance, you will pay the penalty. And they're telling you how much that penalty will be. And then the maximum amount under Obamacare is $2,100 if you do not have insurance, and that goes into effect in 2016. So people that are thinking that Obamacare is free health care, they never once said the word free.
Oh, no. No, that's the thing. We are period. We are responsible for this. We are the stupid enough to sit back and interpret things the way the administration wants us to interpret them. They say one thing and they mean another, but they say it so that it can be either way interpreted. And we interpret it the wrong way every friggin' time.
Well, and part of the thing, as the like Nancy Pelosi says, you got to pass the bill, know what's in it. And speaking of the cuts, one of the things that the the sequester, one of the things that they're doing is they want to hurt people. And a couple of things that are a big issue to a lot of people is illegal immigration. And as we did a program I talked about last week, that because of the budget cuts, they are releasing thousands of already detained illegal immigrants. But even more so, here is March 7th. This is from Newsmax. 60,000 border and customs agents told to take 14 days furlough as part of the $85 billion cross government spending cuts. So how do you feel about the fact that, again, we already have kind of a very porous open border, and now we're going to say, hey, 14 days out of the year, they're not going to be there?
Okay, I'm not too concerned about it because that's like a day a month, And if we can't get by without them for a day a month, then we're in trouble too.
Well, here's the thing: is like, okay, in Oregon we have furlough days, and it's published, it's on the calendar. These days, I guess it's federal. I'm sorry. These offices will be closed. Okay, so great. If you're planning to cross the border, and I'm not just talking about people trying to come over here to make better lives. I'm talking about anybody, with good or bad intentions. And on July 15th of this year, nobody's going to be there because they're having a furlough day.
Well, again, that's not the way it works. I mean, a furlough day is per person. If you want to cut you take an office with six people in it, you don't furlough them all on the same day.
Actually, they actually closed the office down.
Well, that's stupid. That's not the way it was supposed to be done. That's not the way it was intended to be done. And if we're letting them do it and getting away with it, then again, we're at fault. We should be doing something about this. We should be raising up and raising a stink. And we're not. We're being stupid about this whole thing.
Exactly. And that's the point. And it's unnecessary is the thing I'm getting at. There's a lot of projects out there, including, like I said, giving away money overseas, that if we actually had somebody come in, and I'm sorry, just because you have an MBA doesn't make you smart.
Oh, no.
that somebody that actually has lived, like on an average income, this is also my bitch and moan too. People in government that serve government, because it used to be what they call it, being a statesman, you go in, you do your thing, and then you leave. You go back to your life. You don't make a career out of it.
Oh.
But if people go in there and we can provide housing for the people that have to, you know, that your home, say, like, is in Oregon, but you have to go in and live in D.C. Okay, we'll give you housing. We'll take care of that end of it. You'll have a place to stay. You'll have a car. We'll take care of that. We'll take care of transportation, unless you're going to do like Vanetta that comes home every week taking a jet and costing us millions of dollars. But we're going to pay you, we'll even give you an account, a reasonable account, like a regular business, and we're going to give you a salary, say, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, which is not a bad salary, you know, for covering all the other expenses for you. But that keeps you more in touch, or even $100,000, that keeps you more in touch with the general populace.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that does it.
Well, and also pass the laws, like, what is it, 28th Amendment, that any laws you pass, you are under, you also are affected by?
Oh, that's, yeah, the 28th Amendment, yeah. If they do that, that would help, because at least it'd make them think about it. But I don't know that they'd probably just...
Well, there wouldn't be any more insider trading like what Nancy Pelosi got away with, but put Martha Stewart in jail.
Yeah, yeah. And they're talking about that again, I'm telling you.
Exactly.
It's again, we've just, there's so many things that we've done that we've let go and allowed to happen that we've got to cut back and you can't really do them all at once. I mean, there's just so many things to even think of all at once. And we, the general public, we the people, have just sat back on our hind end and done nothing and allowed people to get away with this. And we just keep doing it and keep doing it. Nobody ever, you know, I'm hoping, I wish we'd get so upset and so many things would happen that we'd finally get so upset that we'd raise up and do something about it.
Well, the thing is, and this is what people need to remember, and I got a 40-second audio that kind of brings up the point, and then we'll get into the 911 operator. Let me play that for you real quick.
You didn't build that. You didn't build that. You didn't build that. You didn't build that.
That was President Obama commenting that people that made their money, that people built their businesses, they didn't build it by themselves. The federal government helped them do it.
And no way. The only thing the federal government helps you do is spend it.
Exactly. And they're actually your silent partner as far as what you pay. 646-721-9887. 40 minutes remaining in the program. You can talk about this or anything else that is on your mind. I have in my little archives here, as we were talking at the beginning of the program, the actual full audio of the 911 call, as Cliff was saying, that the person said they were a nurse and not a nurse. Cliff, you want to give them a summary, or you want to do the audio real quick first?
Go ahead and do the audio first.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, we need to get CPR started. That's not enough. Okay. Let me.
We can't do CPR.
Okay. Then hand the phone. Hand the phone to the passerby. If you can't do it, I need to hand it to the passerby. I'll have her do it. Or if you've got any citizens there, I'll have them.
No.
Anybody there can do CPR. Give them the phone, please. I understand if your facility is not willing to do that, give the phone to that passerby that stranger that has it sent. I need, this woman's not breathing enough. She's gonna die if we don't get this started. Do you understand?
I understand.
Okay.
I am a nurse, but I cannot have our other senior citizens who don't know CPR.
I will instruct them in,
in a dining room.
I will instruct them. Is there anyone there? Okay. I don't understand why you're not willing to help this patient.
I am.
Okay, great. Then I'll walk you through it all. EMS takes the liability for this, Colleen. I'm happy to help you, okay? This is EMS protocol. Okay?
I don't know where he is, but he's yelling at me and saying that we have to have one of our other residents perform CPR and still instruct, and I'm not going to do that. And what is that call?
Colleen, is there anybody that works there that's willing to do it?
We can't.
Are we just
going to
wait? We're going to let this lady die?
Well, that's why we're calling 911.
We can't wait. She can't wait right now. She is stopping breathing. She can't wait for them to get there.
She's taking three breaths.
It's not enough. We need to get CPR started.
He's saying we don't, so you can talk to my boss, and I'm...
Okay.
I don't know.
They're receiving CPR. They're going to let her die. By the facility, yeah.
When will the fire department be here? When will the...
They're coming as quick. They've been on the way all this time, but we can't wait. This lady's going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, if you get anybody, any stranger that happens to walk by that's willing to help, I understand if your boss is telling you can't do it.
Yeah.
But if there's any, as a human being, I don't, you know, is there anybody that's willing to help this lady and not let her die?
Not at this time.
No, they won't touch her at all. I can't get them to touch her at all.
Well, we have residents that are hurting.
Any guests? Older. Any guests that are there that are willing to help?
No, I don't have any.
Is there a gardener or any staff, anybody that doesn't work for you anywhere? Can we flag someone down in the street and get them to help this lady? Can we flag a stranger down? I bet a stranger will help her. I'm pretty good at talking them into it. If you can flag a stranger down, I will help. I will help tell them how to help her.
I don't know if I'll home her. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, he said not to move her. Yeah.
Okay. Has anyone gone to look for a stranger?
They're here right now. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And that was the 911 call, and of course, ultimately, the woman died.
Yeah. Well, see, I happen to be, I'm very upset about that call because the 911 operator didn't. She's getting carried away with her own importance, I believe, and I think she should be fired. I know they won't because she was trying to help the lady, but the lady was in a home to die. That was why she was there, and there are three buildings side by side in that complex, and one of them is there to just live out your time and die. The other ones are assisted livings of various degrees, and that was why she was there. She knew that was why she was there. Her family knew that's why she was there, and the CPR lady, the lady they called, 911 lady, didn't know the situation, didn't know the circumstance, and it isn't up to her to make the decision. And so I was to that's call upsets me.
Well, of course, the person, the nurse, called 911 for help. The woman.
No, she called. She called 911 to get the fire department or there's somebody up there because this is basically a dead lady that they've got to pick up.
Now, okay. No, I disagree there because the woman did not have a do not resuscitate order. And,
and believe me, that won't happen again.
I mean, why? You know, if you call 911, they're going to respond. And they're going to respond because we had that here. We had an elderly person here who had a do not resuscitate order because she had cancer. And when she went in to an attack. We called 911, and they rushed out here. And they were by her side, even though there was nothing they could do about it.
Right.
As far as the woman, the dispatcher, the Bakersfield, California dispatcher, by the way, is following protocol. When somebody calls in and says that somebody's having a heart attack, and the dispatcher, of course, is going to say, give them CPR or find somebody that will do it.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, you're right. She didn't have a do not resuscitate note or whatever they put in to say that. But you can bet your life that this company, this home, is going to make sure that they all have it from now on.
Or at least emphasize the point that their policy is this. See, that's the thing I don't know if it's did they, when they came into the building, did they know that they had this do not resuscitate policy?
Well, they don't have a do not resuscitate policy. That that particular building, independent living care does not provide care. Independent living, the building that provides this independent living, does not provide care, according to Paul Williams, Senior Government Relations Director for the Assisted Living Federation of America, whose members also operate independent centers. It's like a senior apartment. All they provide is meals and social activities. There's no care provided, and that's what she was living in. And so, if the fireman comes in and wants to give 911, he can do that.
Right.
But the people who are involved with the building and who are involved with the living center are not allowed to. That's their contract with them.
But like the 911 operator says, that just for humanity's sake, being a human being, are you not willing to help the lady? You're just going to let her die?
If that's what she wanted, yes.
The woman that was having a heart attack.
And that's why she lived there. She could have lived next door and gotten taken care of. But she specifically decided to live where she did. And that was her decision and her family's decision. It was no one else's. And she didn't have to live there. She could have lived next door and gotten the care she wanted, or they wanted. But she was there to die. I'm sorry. It sounds very bad. But, when you go someplace to die, that's where, you should be allowed to do that.
Yeah, but you're making her sound like she's an elephant, going off to the fields or whatever to just lay down and...
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Everybody's saying that you've got to do this. You've got to do this. You're a human being. You're not allowed to die. Bullshit. You're allowed to die if you want to. You've got that option. Now, it could be she wanted to live somewhere. She could eat and she could have whatever, but she's not allowed to. She is allowed to make up her own mind, and she decided she knew what she was doing, and her family knew what she was doing, and they should let her do it.
Okay, but I'm going to get back to that. If she went there to die, then she would have a non-resuscitate order on file.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They did make a mistake. The people from the facility knew what the facility was. Her family knew what the facility was. The lady knew what the facility was. But the rest of the world doesn't necessarily. So they didn't bother with the DNR. But I can pretty much guarantee you, and they've already said, that from now on, everyone will have one.
Uh-huh.
So... All they've done is just changed how they're going to do their operations, and it shouldn't be necessary to do that. I think the 911 gal went way too far.
Well, and of course, here's a new news article from Bakersfield. Let's see, what is it? The Bakersfield, Californian, where it says that the family said that they personally, to kind of go along with your argument, personally selected Glenwood Gardens independent living in Bakersfield because they were not trained medical staff and that she wanted to die naturally without any type of prolonging life interventions. Well, I would still say that if that was your intent, where's your do not resuscitate order?
As I said, they didn't figure they had to have it because that's the whole place was there for that.
Right.
That was the whole idea of that building, that part of the facility, is it was a DNR place. Why would they have to double their efforts? And I mean, they were there. They understood that. She understood that. It's just the 911 lady didn't know what she was talking about, and she upset everybody.
Well, I get back to the same thing, that 911 operator did what she was supposed to do.
No, she didn't. 911 operator is supposed to send someone out there to take care of the lady. She's not supposed to do the taking care of or the instructions or anything else.
Well, as a human being, I mean, like she said, the
operator
was following protocol. If you have the ability to save somebody's life, aren't you morally obligated to do so?
No. That's what I'm saying. You're not morally obligated if the person doesn't want it. And they've stated by picking that place and by everything else they did that she didn't want it.
Okay, then why didn't the – if she didn't want it, then the nurse just saying, well, I'm under company policy, I can't do –
That's what she said.
Yeah, but she didn't say that this woman has an order or does not want to do it. She just said that she, under company policy, is not allowed to do it.
Well, what are you supposed to say? I mean, the DNR wasn't a necessity. Necessity? Anyway, wasn't a necessity because they were in a place that didn't need that. They were in a place that wasn't supposed to require that. Now, as I say, they're going to have both that and the other and everything else they need from now on. But that was an understood thing. The 911 operator went way too far. I mean, she can suggest this and suggest that now and then, but she was very insistent, and she made many people very upset, and I think she's the one that should be fired.
Well, again, I'll disagree with you. Because the 911 operator is going by what she knows, her training, and what she's been told. If she would have been told by the representative of the facility, and perhaps maybe, now I know in an emergency situation, you don't, a lot of times you don't have clear thinking, but it sounded like the nurse was very calm
in right.
the situation. It was very insistent and kept saying, I am a nurse. But if she would have informed the 911 operator that this facility does not, well, like you're saying, they're here to die. This is the patient's wish. And the 911 operator was informed of that. Then perhaps, the 911 operator wouldn't.
No, you should listen to what she says. She was there to save the lady's life. You know, this is a human being. You save a human being's life. That's the thing many people think. This is a human being. No matter what, you save their life, whether they want it or not. And there's a lot of hospitals and a lot of doctors that go through that facility, that position. They decide that they're there to save the person's life. They can't allow a person to die. Some people want to die. That's maybe what they, and I'm not saying she specifically wanted at that particular moment exactly to do it. I mean, but there's so, I think the 911 operator went so far overboard that it wasn't even funny.
So what do you think the 911 operator should have done? It's just that.
She should have called the people that were supposed to go out, which is why the people were calling in the first place, was to get the fire department or whoever out there. And then she could have suggested this and suggested that. But she went on and on and on and said, well, you got to do this. You got to do that. No, she doesn't. You know, she was absolutely telling her what she was supposed to do and what she wasn't supposed to do. And if she couldn't do it, she was supposed to go get somebody off the street to do it. That's not the way you do things. You don't get somebody off the street to do something like that. And I don't care if the 911 operator could guide her through or not. I wouldn't want anybody, depending on a 911 operator for anything. I mean, that's not what they're there for.
Well, as you could hear in the background, that the 911 operator was apparently talking to somebody. I'm assuming that it was her supervisor or whatever, because she was telling them, well, they refused to do this, they refused to do that. What they could have done, and maybe they have done, I don't know, I don't see any articles or anything saying it, they would call the facility and talk to management and go, hey, you got a woman out here that's on the ground, because of company policy, the nurse is refusing aid, and get more people involved from there. But the nurse, the 911 operator was trying to do her best based on her training to help save a life. But the nurse that is, from what she saw and from what I heard, is refusing to help. She's a nurse. You've got a woman that's having a heart attack. She's going to die. Help her. The 911 operator does not know that this facility is, what the patient is there for, does not know that they don't resuscitate, that that's a policy. And that, you know, from the 911 operator's point of view, that's what she's thinking. You know, this person's dying. You won't do it. Get somebody else to help.
Well, I just think that the 911 operator went way too far. She's taking it in her own hands. In fact, she even mentioned the fact that she was covered by some sort of an emergency
facility. All the good scenarios.
And she decided that she was capable of doing it, to hell with everybody else. And I wouldn't do that. There's no way I would let a 911 operator have control of my life. I just wouldn't do it.
Let's take it to the other extreme then. Let's say that the 911 operator did what you are suggesting. Let's say one of us is in there, our loved one is in one of those facilities, and the reverse happens, is that the nurse says she won't help. And what's the 911 operator supposed to say? Okay, well, that's fine. EMS is on their way. Let them die.
Right. And the thing is, this lady said she was a nurse. Okay, how many nurses do you know wouldn't let anybody die unless they were supposed to? I mean, a nurse would, by nature, do something about it, unless they were not supposed to do something about it. There were other people around that were watching this person at the same time, and nobody was doing anything. You know, there must have been a reason that they weren't doing anything. And the 911 operator wouldn't accept that. She just, I'm right and you're wrong, and to hell with you.
Well, in fact, I wish I had the transcripts of the whole call from me. Was the 911 operator informed that she was a resident of the facility instead of just somebody that's there?
Yes, of course she was. Yeah, she was informed that she was a resident. And the only thing is that she may not have known what each one of the facilities meant. And that's one thing that she should have known or should have been aware of if she was going to be in that job. But it's quite possible that she didn't. But the thing is, there are facilities right next to it. I mean, they weren't far apart. They aren't separated. They're just separate buildings. They aren't separate places. And they could have gone and helped her, but she would. I don't know. The 911 operator overstepped her bounds, I think. You know, saying she wants to help and to be insistent, but to go on and on and on is wrong.
Uh-huh.
All she did is make the people that are there, because I'm sure that those people then were very upset and I would get very upset about it. And all she did was upset everyone, including KEGT, was the original one, Channel 17 in Bakersfield, was the one who did the whole thing to begin with, and including getting them upset. I mean, they thought they were watching someone die that shouldn't. And because, you know, you don't have time, especially while this lady's yelling at you to do this and do that and do the other, you don't have time to explain to them what the place is supposed to be and what the different living situations are and the different portions of the building. I mean, you don't have time to do that. I mean, this all happened in, what, 2 minutes? And most of the 2 minutes were you spent being yelled at. And, you know, the poor nurse, everybody made a mistake, is the case. And like I say, one of the things that they should have done is they should have had a DNR on file for everyone, and they could have said yes. And that wasn't asked, by the way. There was never asked whether she had a DNR. But
I would think that the nurse would have volunteered that information. As I said earlier, is that the 911 operator is just acting on the information she has at hand. And as it says here, you know,
but she didn't accept the information that she had at hand. I mean, she wouldn't accept what the people were telling her. I mean, even if somebody had told her something, I don't think she'd accepted it. I mean, she was hell-bent to do something to save this person's life, whether she was going to save her life or not. She doesn't know.
What's funny here is that I'm looking, I'm trying to find some more information on Glenwood Gardens itself, and this one's under the site I'm looking at. It's called Senior Housing Net, and they're saying that it offers inspired independent living with the promise of exceptional experiences every day. It's like, well, that's definitely an exceptional experience.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and even the people, you know, they said it's our beloved, it was our beloved mother and grandmother, mother's wish to die naturally and without any kind of life prolonging intervention. That's just this is a statement from the family. It says, we understand the 911 tape of this event has caused some concern, but our family knows that mom had full knowledge of the limitations of the Glenwood Gardens and is at peace. The family said it would not try to sue anyone or not try to profit from the death, and it was called it a lesson that we learned from. We regret that this private and most personal time has been escalated by the media and so on and so forth. But the 911 operator carried it way too far. She should have stopped. She, you know, I understand her being insistent and trying to insist that somebody help her if possible, but you can do that in 20 seconds, not 2 minutes. And she just went way too far.
Well, also, I want to just kind of throw out there on the same site. It says, and the residents at Glenwood Gardens can rest assured that their needs change, we provide a variety of auxiliary services and personal assisted living environment that encourages residents to continue to live as they please with respecting individual preferences.
Right. Continue to live as they please.
Right.
I'm
looking for any keywords here that says that they can die as they please.
Well, that's the point of it. You know, if it's a non-assisted place, that's what they mean. It's non-assisted. I mean, right next door, they had an assisted one, and then after that, they had one that you have a nurse on hand at all times watching them breathe. Or not. And see, that's the kind of a place that if you all of a sudden decide you're not going to breathe anymore, they'll make you do it unofficially. And I don't agree with that either. But that's, they have all three places. But this was particularly one that was just allowed to live, period, until you don't. I mean, it's being very callous and sounds horrible, but I believe you should be allowed to die if you want to.
And speaking of being allowed, if you have an opinion on this, 646-721-9887. And again, if you're missing the live program, send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com. As Cliff and I agree to disagree.
Yeah, we do that once in a while. It can happen. But, it's a tragedy. It's definitely a tragedy. It's just our members looking into the policies to make sure they're clear, whether they have to, one, maybe initiate the CPR or not. They should be responsive to what the 911 operator tells them to do. They were responsive, but they were told not to do. I mean, the lady told her she wasn't going to do that. And that's, you know, if you tell a nurse, I don't know. I mean, what do they think this nurse was doing? Well, I don't know. I can't conceive of a nurse, if it was something she was supposed to do to save the person's life, that they would do it. But this is a case that the 911 operator was mistaken with. She didn't know what the place was like or what the place was for. So.
Well, and to kind of – okay, this kind of backs up what you're saying, and this is from USA Today. It says, no CPR policy common at independent living facilities. And it says here, I'm quoting, facilities such as the one in Bakersfield, California, where an employee said company policy prevented her from performing CPR on an elderly resident and subsequently died, are not required and usually are not equipped to perform CPR or other emergency medical care, they say. Independent living does not provide care, says a representative, the director for Assisted Living Federation of America. I'm reading this cold copy, so.
Yeah.
So no care is provided. Okay, so like you're saying, is as long as, like you said, you know up front, this is your wishes, great, no problem there. But then again, I still think the nurse should have informed the 911 operator, and maybe that would have helped a lot of things right, a lot of the issue right there, and it probably wouldn't have even been a news media event.
Well, it probably wouldn't have been, and that's the thing. The 911 operator carried it too far. The nurse didn't give enough information, but in the beginning, the 911 operator was yelling at her. I mean, what do you expect this nurse to do? You know, when someone's yelling at you, you don't think right, and you don't think about things. She knew what the place was like. She just assumed that the other person on the other end of the line knew what they were like, and so in one case, the 911 people were not trained the way they should be. There should be more information given to them so that they know what this place is that they're calling from. The nurse was aware of what the place was doing that they called from, and I don't know. It's very unfortunate that it all had to happen, but it's still not up to the operator, the 911 operator, to go nearly as far as she did.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, most companies, the policy is in the event of emergency, staff immediately call 911 and remain with the resident, so to speak, and provide whatever assistance is necessary.
Provide what assistance is necessary. It's not up to the 911 operator to give them information on what to do. It's not her responsibility to take responsibility for that life. And saying that they had the insurance to cover it, they're saying that the 911 operators are being given permission or a mandate to be responsible for that person's life, and that shouldn't be the way it is. That can't be done on a phone. As far as I'm concerned, it's just not to be done on a phone. You've got that's bad. That's going to create problems, and people are going to start dying that I shouldn't die, and so on and so forth, because you don't have the information sending on the phone to make decisions like that.
Well, and like you said, that's something that should be pointed out and initialed or whatever when you sign up for. I mean, again, the USA Today article makes a good point, is that a lot of these senior living centers, they're just like they have a tenant landlord relationship with the facility, and depending on the policies, Elmcroft, again quoting from the article, Elmcroft Senior Living Center, which has 103 facilities in 19 states, says their policy is, in the event a resident suffers cardiac or respiratory arrest to the extent allowed under the law, it is our policy to call 911 and perform CPR unless the resident has a do not resuscitate order. And again, so like you're saying, the policy of the facility, but the nurse probably should have, I mean, like you said, there's a lot of should haves. When you're in an emergency situation, even as calm as the nurse sounded, probably didn't think as much because she was arguing with the 911 operator to say this is a do not facilitate facility, even though, and it is on file that this patient here does not wish to be resuscitated. But she just kept saying, I'm a nurse. Our company policy is not to do this. And the 911 operator is going, oh, my God, man, you could save a life. Just give her some help.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe the nurse may not have known she didn't have a DNR on file, because I would think that most people that lived there did, because, since there were all three facilities right next to each other, I've seen pictures of the place. In fact, I've been by the place. I used to live in Bakersfield. But since they were all three right next to each other, and all she had to do was call next door to any kind of assistant person she wants to. I mean, nurse, doctor, whatever. They were all there and available, but she didn't say that to the 911 lady, I'm sure, because she assumed that she was in a different facility. But you can't assume things like that, and it was a mistake, and that's, everybody understands a mistake, and that's what I'm saying. The people who were her family, who should be upset at that mistake, weren't. They said it was an acceptable thing, and I get the impression she had told everybody she didn't want to be resuscitated, but didn't have the actual DNR file somewhere. But I'm sure from this point on, who will make sure that they were there and that everybody knows where they are and where to look and so on and so forth, because they're not going to put up with this again.
Well, and maybe, like I say, lessons learned.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you got diabetes, you got something else, there's a bracelet available to that you can wear, or, you know, some type, you know what I'm talking about, that can alert emergency responders that, okay, you have diabetes, you have a heart condition, you have a pacemaker. Maybe they have something for do not resuscitate, you know, because you could...
Well, the idea would be that everybody who goes there has to sign the DNR to live in that facility. Simple as that. That way, when somebody asks, or if somebody says anything, or if you want to say anything, you can. You can just say it with aware of the fact that all people who live in that place have a DNR.
Well, I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of investigation in this, and, you know, mistakes may be made on both sides. More particularly, the 911 operator will know now that if that is a do not resuscitate facility, you know, and the nurse to be sure to say, hey, this patient has or this resident has does not wish to be resuscitated. That, you know, in other words, they're going to learn from their mistakes, I hope.
Oh yeah, they've already said they're going to do things differently because of that simple fact. The thing partly is, everybody made mistakes, like you say, but I just think that the 911 operator is, I wouldn't want a 911 operator to be that belligerent at all times. I mean, she just blustered her way through there. She was very upsetting. I wouldn't either.
Well, and that's where you and I disagree. I'd rather err on the side of caution. And yeah, sure, maybe, you know, if somebody else did perform 911 on the resident and was successful in resuscitating, I'd rather have somebody, if I was the 911 operator, I'd rather have somebody try that and be wrong than to do the opposite and be wrong.
But that's my problem. You know, the 911 operator doesn't know the situation. She can't know the situation. She doesn't know the person, and she could be doing something wrong. She could be making problems worse by insisting on this than she is. She can insist on it. She can say something about it. She can try for a little bit, but she should find the back off because she doesn't know the situation.
That's
she simply.
Point. That's the whole point. The only thing the 911 operator knows is that she got an emergency call about somebody having a heart attack, and she responded accordingly.
Oh, no, she didn't. That's what I'm saying. She didn't respond accordingly. Accordingly was to dispatch somebody out to take care of it.
Dispatch emergency personnel, and you instruct the person on the phone to start administrating CPR. That's a first responder thing.
And after you've done that, then you shut up. After you've done that, after you've instructed them what to do, and whether they decide to do it or not to do it, you shut up and leave them alone.
Well,
she went way beyond that.
Well, again, from the 911 operator's point of view, she had an uncooperative nurse that, for whatever reason, refused to provide assistance when instructed to do so. Apparently, you know, the 911 operator was talking to, I'm assuming, the supervisor, and is kind of frustrated. This woman will not help this woman who is going to die if we don't do something.
Well, she even asked her to bring other people in and to have other people over, and she wouldn't do that. There were other people around. She knew that, and there must be some reason that she didn't have other people help her. I mean, she just went way too far.
Have you found any information on... what happened after EMS arrived?
Well, yeah. The lady died.
The lady died, but did EMS try to perform any CPR, any other life saving?
No, she wasn't breathing.
Oh, so she was DOA then?
Yeah. So they didn't do anything at all, and they just, you know, picked her up. I mean, and again, the people, her family was well aware of that by this time, and they just let it. They are not suing anyone. They're not giving anybody a hassle, or even the 911 operator. They're not bothering her either. They aren't saying anything about her, but they knew about what she was there for, and she got what she was there for. I mean, I don't want to mean that to sound bad, but that was what she wanted.
Exactly. And, of course, according to the Bakersfield Californian, the Attorney General is aware of the incident, and according to Senator Jen Fuller, Republican Bakersfield, wrote in an email Tuesday that she understands the feeling to rush and find new laws that could prevent this from happening again. That's right. Let's pass another law.
Yeah, family says that the woman denied CPR wanted no intervention. The woman who denied it wanted no intervention. And they knew that. The family knew that. The people in the place where she was living knew that. The only one who didn't know that was the 911 operator. And she wasn't accepting it.
And that gets back to the original question. Did the nurse know that she did not, that she had a, well, what you're saying is that there was a no resuscitate order on file, and the nurse should have mentioned that to the 911 operator. And at that point, the 911 operator would have said, would probably have said, okay, fine, EMS is on their way. There's nothing we can do because you have a DNR.
Well, the thing is, there wasn't a DNR. There wasn't a DNR, but the nurse knew that there was none, and they also knew that she didn't want intervention. The nurse knew that, but she also there was no DNR. So she, but the thing is, the again, I say the 911 operator should have done exactly what you said, pushed it. I mentioned it a second time, but once they said no, I mean, let it go because there is help on the way.
Yeah, but like she said, is that, you know, when you're having a heart attack, time is everything. And like the nurse said, well, she took three breaths. Well, three breaths isn't enough to sustain life. I'm sorry. Get help is what the 911 operator was promoting and trying to get somebody to do.
Remember, this happened in the dining room. This was not a person that was by themselves.
Right.
I mean, the nurse and there were other people around, and they could have done all kinds of things. But this was a woman who... The nurse and the people around her knew that she didn't want the help.
Well, I think at the very least, that's what's going to come out, especially the nursing home or the senior living, it's not a nursing home, is if they're smart, they'll review this and apparently need to look at training for handling emergencies to be able to inform the 911 operator that this facility does not provide, it is not just our policy, but the wishes of the residents here that they do not be resuscitated.
That's what I say. You know, they should just make it a blanket situation that everybody who lives there is under a DNR, period.
And also emphasize the point, again, I don't, you know, I have not seen their contracts, but emphasize the point that by being a resident here, you are accepting as a blanket policy that we do not. You know,
well, that they knew. The family knew that. The lady knew that. The nurse knew that. They may not have had a DNR, but they knew that they were not supposed to intervene. Okay. The family says that the woman denied the CPR. They said that the family said that they want she the woman herself had said she wanted no intervention.
Well, as I say, we'll see what comes out of it. And speaking of what comes out of it, we're out of time, by the way.
Wow. Does go fast when you're arguing with each other. As a matter of fact. Anyway, have a good day, everybody.
Absolutely. And again, if you missed the live broadcast, you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll be back again next Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. So I hope you'll join us.
And you can look on krbnradio.com, and you can hear the whole program recorded because it's there. Or will be in a few seconds.
By sending, yes. And again, we'll see you next week, folks.
Hi, have a good one.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.